This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The economy is still struggling with higher prices and more children in poverty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Inflation ticked up last month. Prices that retailers pay for items they eventually sell to consumers were slightly higher last month because of things like food and energy. The Commerce Department reported the nation's producer price index added 0.2%, which is not good news, of course, for children and their parents living in poverty across this country. A new report out today by the Annie E. Casey Foundation says child poverty is up in 38 states. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports.
Even if you think you have no stake in this problem, the study's authors are quick to point out you do. They conclude the social costs of impoverished children are growing. Disadvantaged kids are less likely to be gainfully employed as adults. They lead to higher health and criminal justice expenditures and drag down the country's economic output. Curtis Skinner is director of Family Economic Security at Columbia University's National Center for Children in Poverty. He's concerned this jump in childhood poverty is only adding to a destructive cycle.
You do see that poor children all too often become poor adults, and then they start their own families and raise up another generation of poor children.
The study warns that government budget cuts are threatening safety net programs such as food stamps, unemployment support, and foreclosure mediation, and Skinner raises the perfect storm analogy.
I think we're a little pessimistic about improvement in the short term. We're just basically trying to help ensure that the safety net programs are covered as best they can be. And it's an uphill battle.
Skinner warns that as government tries to find spending cuts, social programs are a quick fix, but we could end up paying more in the long run. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, generally about 0.5% or so. The Dow up 65 points at 11,471. Farm equipment maker John Deere said this morning profit was up about 15% over the same quarter last year. The tractor maker is considered a bellwether for the economy, a company that can tell us a whole lot about what's going on. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
The word bellwether comes from the practice of putting a bell on the sheep that leads the flock. The bell helps the herder know where the flock is and where it's going. Bellwether companies are like that lead sheep. David Kotok is the chief investment officer from Cumberland Advisors.
Markets look to them for guidance on how the entire industry is doing.
Earnings reports are the bells. Often buried in the numbers are tidbits of information about where things are headed. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial in New York.
We can develop a sense of where the momentum is, and that is extraordinarily useful when trying to figure out the economy, especially when it's as rough as it is right now.
Lowe says some companies like John Deere are good indicators of specific parts of the economy. Deere sells farm equipment, so if Deere is doing well, agriculture is likely doing well. But Deere's earnings may not tell us much about other parts of the economy. Lowe's favorite broad bellwethers, UPS and FedEx.
Anytime the global shipping picks up, that's a really good indication that global economic activity is picking up.
But be careful. If you're going to watch earnings reports for clues about the economy as a whole, you've got to stay alert.
Everything changes.
Charles Trezinka teaches finance at Indiana University's Kelly School of Business.
The companies that you think are important now may not be important in the future.
Take Microsoft, Trezinka says. It would have been considered a bellwether at one time, but not anymore. The trick with using earnings reports as economic indicators is to make sure you're following the right bells from the companies and sectors that are actually doing the leading. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
In that report, Adrian spoke to a professor at the Kelly Business School at Indiana University, an underwriter of this program.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Our special coverage continues now to explore the current state of our economy, called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. A lot of folks say any cure for what ails the economy has to include a plan to reduce health care costs, which already claim a quarter of the country's gross domestic product. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports the recovery's delay isn't helping.
The phenomenal rise in healthcare spending has tapered off over the past couple years. Seems like a good thing, right? Jerry Jasinowski, who used to be president of the National Association of Manufacturers, says not necessarily.
Some companies have reduced their health costs, but that's only because they've hired less because they were uncertain about the recovery.
Uncertainty that's also forcing companies to delay reforms of health benefits, like offering workers incentives for preventive care. But as workers lose their jobs and drop out of employer-provided insurance, governments have to pick up the slack.
States face a double whammy when the economy is bad, in that more people need Medicaid and they have fewer resources to provide it.
Judy Fader is a Georgetown University healthcare professor. She says thanks to reforms, government healthcare spending has become more efficient.
Medicare is doing its job to slow cost growth, and we need to extend that kind of efficiency to the rest of the system, meaning private healthcare spending.
There's another silver lining from the focus on government austerity. Princeton health economist Uwe Reinhardt says it allows Congress to say no to powerful lobbyists like hospitals, doctors, and drug makers.
Congress now probably has a lot more spine and say, look, we'd like to help you folks, but look at this deficit. We got to think of the future and then our kids.
Reinhardt says resisting what he calls the K Street insurgents will go a long way to bring down health care's drag on the economy. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, Standard & Poor's not only downgraded the U.S. credit rating, it also downgraded local government investments that rely heavily on U.S. securities. Well, that downgrade included the city of Los Angeles' $7 billion worth of investments. So L.A. fired back this week, announcing it's giving S&P, which rates its investment fund, the boot, saying it didn't want to be associated with the agency anymore. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Small businesses create most of the new jobs in this country. Lose them, too, when they go under. So how to know a business is going to stick?
If a business owner shows that, yes, not only did I pay myself, but I paid a couple of other employees, you are really destined for success.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the business side of the economy. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.